Well, for the last message tonight, I wonder what I should leave you with. And I don't know if there's any right thing to end with. But I felt like I just wanted to leave you tonight with a message endeavoring to show you how much Jesus loves us. And I think sometimes we overlook that in our living, and that can be a motivating factor for us to keep living right if we understand and get glimpses of how much Jesus loves us. And tonight I'd like to endeavor, by the words of Jesus, to do that tonight. So open up your Bibles to John chapter 14. And these are very familiar words. And sometimes that is a problem because we know them so well by heart that we don't really even think about what they're saying. But tonight I'd like to just open up these verses for us because Jesus spoke them, not just for his disciples at that time, but for his disciples today. And these are words for you and I tonight that Jesus is speaking to us. John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I'm going to stop reading right there. There's many more precious words that could be read. I'd like to just focus in on one verse here tonight, verse 3. But tonight, as disciples of Jesus, these are comforting words to us. And these are words that you and I have probably heard at funerals and gravesides. These comforting words of Jesus. They're spoken many, many times at death. Well, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, and they were very troubled and very distressed in this situation. And I think that in order to get the context, we'll back up into chapter 13. And I think it's important for us to put these words into context. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and these words at that time meant a whole lot to them because of what they were facing. And I would like for us just to feel that just a bit here tonight. Why Jesus spoke these words to his 11 disciples there that night. Because Jesus really loved. He really loved this group of 11 men that surrounded him that night. And these words show that to us. Chapter 13. I think we're just going to take the time to read a number of these verses here. Let's see. Let's break in here at verse 18, I think, is where we'll start. Jesus says, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of him he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop, when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And then we have Jesus going right into chapter 14 and speaking these words to his disciples. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. These disciples were very troubled in this circumstance. They had no idea what in the world was going on. They were lost. And we have Jesus in verse 21. He says he was troubled in spirit. And that speaks of like great, great distress. He was in pain, emotional pain in his own heart. He was troubled. And yet, he said some really, really words that would sort of jolt you. He said, look, one of you tonight is... You're going to betray me. You will betray me. One of you will. Can you just imagine yourself? Just imagine yourself in that circle with Jesus. And you can tell something's really bothering him. And he looks around that group and he looks in the eyes of his men and says, tonight, one of you is going to betray me. He said, how could that be? Peter, he's sitting there and he's thinking like, really? And he somehow gets John's attention. Like, John, like, he beckons to John somehow. I don't know how he did that, but you ask Jesus, like, who is it? Well, Judas was identified as the one and he went out. And it was night. That's pretty dark. That's really sad. But yet on top of all that, something else was going on that was even more bad news. In verse 33, Jesus says, you can't come with me. I'm going to go somewhere, and you're not going to be able to come along with me. You're staying here. That is pretty perplexing. My master and my Lord, you're going to leave us here? Like, really? Verse 36, he told Simon Peter, like, you're not going to be able to follow after him. You can't come with me. You just can't come with me. But you're going to follow me afterwards. It's perplexing. It's perplexing. But yet on top of that, Peter, you're not even going to be able to come with me right now, but you're going to even deny me three times. Can you believe that? Just picture yourself in that circle, in that setting, and you're grappling with what is going on, and Jesus is saying all these just troubling things to them, like,
didn't make sense to them. And then one of them went out into the night, and they didn't know why he left for it. They just didn't understand it. And then on top of that, Jesus said, look, I'm going to leave you. You can't come with me now. But yet on top of all of that, yet Peter, you think you're coming with me, but you're going to deny me yet. 3 times you're going to say you don't know me. Jesus is going away. The man that they had given all their life to, their livelihoods, their occupations, they'd given all up to follow this man, and you're leaving us? Why was Jesus so troubled in his spirit in verse 21? Was it because of Judas Iscariot? Possibly it was. Was it because Peter was going to betray him? Probably it was that too, but I think ultimately he was looking ahead and he saw the cross. He saw the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew what was coming for him. He knew what was ahead of him, that his disciples had no idea what was coming, and all the trouble that stirred deep within his heart. The hour was coming. The hour was coming. And Jesus was burdened down with that. But I just want you to see something tonight, that even in the midst of all that weight that was pressing in on Jesus, what did he do? Did he just sit there and look for mercy for himself? No, in the midst of that trial, the greatest trial ever to try a man, Jesus, in tenderness and in love, he just reaches out to his disciples. He wants to comfort them and minister to them, ease their pain, comfort their hearts. Like, don't you just feel the compassion and the love of Jesus? Like, think about yourself when you're going through something pretty tough and pretty hard. You say, I don't really got anything in me to like show comfort to anybody else. I'm just like grappling with my own issues. But Jesus, with the deepest trial that ever was to face a human, in light of that, he still in tenderness and in love was reaching out to his disciples to comfort them, to show mercy to them. They were so troubled, so perplexed. And he just goes right into chapter 14. And he's like, dear ones, don't let your hearts be troubled tonight. Don't be troubled. Yeah, I'm carrying this great weight, but I have more yet to give, to comfort you. Like, do you get that glimpse of Jesus tonight from these words? It's really just an amazing thing. Just let it soak into your soul tonight of what Jesus can do, even as he is in midst of great trial and affliction. He still can give comfort to those who are troubled with even lighter things than what he faces. Well, that's the context of John chapter 14. I'd like to look at verse 3 and just look at 3 areas briefly tonight for our inspiration and to show us how much Jesus loved these disciples. But if you're a disciple of Jesus tonight, how much he loves you too. You're no different than those 11 men that sat around him in that circle that night. You are as dear to him as what these men were. We like to look at first Christ's coming, and then Christ's commitment, and Christ's closeness. He says in verse 3, Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That word and says, and if I go, like maybe I will, maybe I won't. But that is not a conditional word. It's sort of a bad translation. It should rather read this, like once I go, or when I go, or after I go. Jesus, this is not if or when, but Jesus is going to do this. He is going to go. He's going to go. When I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Jesus was telling that group of 11 men, I'm going to leave you, but not as orphans. I'm going to send a comforter to you. He tells them in verse 16,
of the same chapter, I will send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever.
And so Jesus saying, I'm leaving you, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send you another comforter that's going to dwell with you forever. He'll never leave you. That's a precious promise for us here tonight. As followers of Jesus, the Spirit will be in and working through our hearts. Tonight in America, where you and I live, our culture gives so much emphasis and time for Christmas, it's called. They celebrate perhaps the birth of Jesus, but it's really turned into a commercialized buying and selling holiday. And a lot of people have no idea really what maybe Christmas could or should mean. So much attention is given to the first advent of Christ, when he came as a baby. People were sort of okay with accepting Christ coming to earth as a baby. And they're okay celebrating that. Christ, little baby in a manger. How harmless is that? That's pretty beautiful, isn't it? But dear ones, tonight there's another event that is going to soon happen that we should be celebrating and looking forward to, that the world doesn't want to hear anything of, and that he's coming back again. And he's not coming this time as a harmless little infant. He's coming back again. How is he coming back again? He's coming back as a lion. He's coming back. He's coming back to conquer and to subdue. He's coming back the second time. Not as a baby. Not as a savior, but as a judge. Tonight, if there's anything we should be celebrating and preparing for and looking forward to, it should be this. He's coming again. Yes, we should celebrate the birth of a Savior. We needed a Savior. Praise God for the birth of a Savior, but we cannot stay with the birth of the Savior. Something bigger is about to happen tonight. We don't know when it's going to be. It could be soon. It could be 100 years, 1,000 years. We don't know. We just don't know God's time frame, but we better be preparing our hearts for the coming of a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are we doing that tonight? He came as a lamb the first time to be slain. He's coming the second time with a rod of iron. And who shall stand before this king? No one will be able to stand before his fiery gaze except for those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Only those will be able to be ready for his coming again. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says this, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Are you tonight, are you really eagerly looking forward to when Christ is coming back again? Do you think these disciples in this passage looked forward to maybe Christ would come in their day? Do you think that scared them at all? I don't think that scared them at all. That brought joy to their hearts and comfort to their hearts that Christ may come today for me. What a beautiful thing it was to them. Have we have a twisted concept of Jesus and of his love for us tonight? There's a little bit of fear in our hearts. I don't think these disciples felt fear when they thought about these words later. These were comforting words. These were words that the disciples, oh, they just longed for the return of Jesus to come for them, to take them home. Are you even looking forward to Christ, to his second coming? Or really, have we just become pretty comfortable here? Our lives are pretty good. Things are pretty easy. And do we have sleepy Christians tonight that sit in our churches and fill our benches tonight? Or are we awake? Or are we sort of drowsy? Not physically, but spiritually. That's the call we see tonight in this passage that Jesus says, I will come again. It's a call for us, brothers and sisters, to wake up. To wake up. It's high time to awake out of our sleep. It's time. It's time. It's time to be real. The spiritual battle that we're in, to be faithfully fighting that battle. Pressing on. Working while it's yet daytime. Because the night's coming when man can't work no more. Work will be over. There's urgency. There's urgency here. I will come again. I will come again. That will happen. Don't lose faith in that. Don't become sidetracked with the things of this world tonight, because Christ will come back again. And I don't want to be caught unprepared for that day. I want to be watching for that day. As Hebrews says, those that eagerly look for him are going to see him when he comes. How earthly minded are you tonight? Do we need to refocus? Refocus. Well, the disciples needed this promise, the assurance that Christ was coming back again. Do we need that assurance tonight? Do we even want Jesus to come back tonight, or are we just sort of like not yet? Just give me a little bit more time yet. Like, maybe I should do a little bit of heart work yet. Maybe I should do some fresh inventory on my life yet. Maybe, it just not quite yet. Jesus would come tomorrow. Would it throw some kinks into your plans? Things that you were planning on doing? How can this be this happening right now? Like, I wanted to get this done yet. Where is my focus and my vision tonight? We can become so earthbound. What does my heart really long for? Is there anything in my life tonight that is just stealing away from me the joy and the hope of Christ coming back again? There's things in my life, and could be in your life, that take my love, my attention, and my time. And Christ isn't the most precious to me. It's sad tonight. If earthly loves keep us from loving Jesus more, that is sad. Well, do we really long for Christ coming again like John the Revelator did in Revelation? Jesus said, I'm coming soon. And John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. No hesitation on his part, was there? He was ready to just come, Lord, right now. Like, there's nothing I need to do yet. I'm ready. That's an amazing testimony to have. Do you have that kind of testimony of ready to meet the Lord? Well, tonight, if you're married tonight and your wife or your husband's gone for just a number of days, and if your marriage relationship is good, you begin to really miss each other just a lot. And you start counting those days and the hours and the minutes until you're back together again. That's sort of a physical, and maybe it's not really how it really is, but it helps us to understand just a little bit of Jesus tonight, I think. I wonder tonight if we don't think of Jesus too much as the intercessor and as our helper. And he is that, absolutely. Praise God for that. But do you ever think about the fierce lover that is looking down upon you tonight and that loves you with a love that you have not fully comprehended yet? A love that's so strong. Jesus is just longing to take his bride home to be with him. He loves his bride with a love that my love for my wife just sort of pales. I would believe in the light of the love of Jesus for his bride. Oh, what love he has for his bride tonight. Do you ever just sit and think about the love that Jesus has for his dear followers, his dear children, those who are endeavoring to live for him and to serve him? Jesus just longs to be with his people. And when he prayed to his Father in John 17, he said, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." Do you, like, these are just glimpses into the heart of Jesus tonight that we really just need to get a hold of and treasure. Jesus said, "Father, I just really want them to be with me. I want them to come with me." Oh, his love tonight. Oh, his love. Well, tonight, I hope that stirs some assurance in your heart, stirs some hope in your heart. It's refreshing to you tonight to think about Jesus as a strong, passionate lover of his bride. Oh, it's beautiful. Well, Christ's commitment. He says, "And receive you unto myself." I will receive you unto myself. I will take you to myself. Jesus looked into those 11 disciples, into their eyes, and he said, "Look, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to take you to myself." That was comforting words to those 11 disciples there that night. Jesus is always true to his word. Not one word will fail him of what he has said. And if he says, "I will come again and I will receive you unto myself," that is as if it has already happened. He's going to do that. And all the followers of Christ who have gone on before us, dear ones, Christ has received them unto himself. They're there with him. Well, that can be comfort tonight. That can take you through some of the darkest days that you and I may face in this life. The comfort that Jesus will take you unto himself. I don't know, I just sort of get this picture of Jesus by his Father's side tonight, and he's just itching to come. Like, "Father, is it time yet? Like, I really just want to come. I just really want to take them all home to be with me. Like, isn't it time yet, Father? Like, I want to go." Do you just feel the longings in the heart of Jesus tonight? They're given to us in this passage. What is the commitment of Jesus built on? What is it built on? It's nothing but his love for his people. This is love commitment tonight. This is the language of love. And yes, when he comes back, he will set everything straight that's crooked. And yes, he will be the judge of all the earth. Yes. But this commitment tonight, I think, is why he's anxiously waiting to come back. Not so much so he can judge and punish people, but his desire is that all would come unto him and find forgiveness, and find salvation, so he can take all men unto himself. That's his heart's desire tonight. All men unto myself. Only a few, Jesus said, will find the way, walk the way. Oh, the undying love tonight of Jesus for his people. That's a motivating force for us tonight to keep walking, to keep going, to keep ourselves out of sin. Say no to those things that want to pull us down. And keep on going. Keep on going. Don't give up. Jesus is anxious to come again. His love for his children is real and it's strong. He said, "I'm going to go to prepare a place for you," he says in verse 2. If you're married tonight, think about the first house that you purchased after you were married. I don't know what that was like, but I know what our house is like. It needed some work done to it. And, I tried to fix it up the best that I could before we were married, but the money sort of ran short. And so I did the best I could. It was workable. And as we lived there, we continued to make it more livable. I wanted to make it as nice as I could for my bride because she deserved the best house I could give her. She really did. Well, tonight, Jesus, as the perfect bridegroom,
preparing a place for his bride. Think about what he's doing with that tonight. Is he running short on the cash? Is he running short on the time? No, none of that has any implications to our Lord tonight. The place that he's preparing tonight is beyond our imagination. Everything will be perfect. Everything is perfect there. And he's longing for his father to say, "Son, go and bring him home. It's time. Bring him home. Go. Go and bring them." And so tonight, our last day, if we're redeemed, our last day will be our best day. Whether it's by sickness, whether it's by accident, whether it's by old age, whatever way we go, Jesus coming back again, our last breath here will be the best day ahead of us. There, do you have faith to believe that tonight? Well, Jesus says that he's going to receive you unto myself. Isn't that interesting? Jesus talked about the place he's preparing, this beautiful place that he's gone to prepare for us. And after talking about this place, he's saying that I'm going to take you to myself. Tonight, the place is not the most important piece. Do we see that tonight? What is the most important in this place tonight? It's Jesus himself. That is the most important. And the place is going to be beyond our imaginations, dear ones. But when we see the face of Jesus tonight, we're going to be blown away with the beauty and the grace and the mercy and the love that just shines out of him. He's the central figure in this place. He's the reason why there's no need for the light there. He is the light. Christ is the central figure of this place. Let's not get sidetracked about the place tonight and how beautiful it's going to be. It's going to be beautiful. But let's focus on the one who is the central part of that place tonight. Jesus himself. Jesus is the climax. He's the most precious part of the place tonight. Well, Jesus' closeness, that where I am, there ye may be also. Do you think this is drudgery for Jesus? Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this because I have to. No, Jesus is just loving to do this. This is so much just love pouring out. This is just great delight. Jesus is saying this with love in his face to these disciples, that I'm going to take you unto myself, and where I am, there you're going to be also, right with me, right with me. The second coming of Christ tonight, it's all about the heart of love for his bride. Oh, such wondrous love tonight. You sing that song sometimes, "Jesus Lover of My Soul." I think that writer of that song had glimpses of how much Jesus loved him. "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roar, while the tempest still is high." Tonight, Jesus' love, it's unsearchable. It's so deep, it's so wide, it's so broad. We can't scope it out. It's beyond us. It's deeper than us. These verses tonight just pull back. And we get a glimpse into the heart of Jesus tonight. He lets us see into his heart tonight. And this is why these verses are so precious. Because we can see the heart love of Jesus for his people. Well, are you longing for Jesus to return tonight? I hope you are. I hope you are. Have you been captivated by his love tonight? Does his love draw you? Does his love constrain you? Does his love just work within you? Do you feel the love of Jesus in your life as you read his word and get glimpses of him through his word? Well, Paul said his testimony was, he said, "You know what? My desire is to depart and to be with Christ." Is that your testimony tonight? Is that mine? He said it was far better for him to do that. Yes, Christ is coming again. No, he's not going to send an angel in his stead. No, he's coming himself. It's going to be Christ himself that's coming back. No one else will do. He will share his bride with no one. His bride is for him, for himself alone, and he will come for her. He will come for her. He will bring her back. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet this bridegroom that has so much love for you that we just can't fully get to the bottom of it? Are your bags packed and you're ready to go? Our bags are packed in our van. We're ready to go home. But spiritually speaking, tonight, is your house in order? Are you ready to go? Or is there something else that you need to do yet before he comes? He's coming again. Well, tonight I trust if there's any troubled hearts here tonight, any tired souls here tonight, that you have sensed Jesus and his love for you tonight, and may it give you some hope, give you some comfort, give you some courage. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Just keep going. Just keep going. Don't give up. I'm sure these disciples, as they faced the trying fires that they faced, they came back to these verses over and over again. Oh, these verses meant so much to them. Read these verses. Let them just soak into your soul. Give you comfort, even in the hard times. Well, tonight the sands of time are sinking. We don't know when that last sand's dripping through the hourglass. We don't know when that is, but they've been trickling through. They're going down. And it might be tonight, might be the last night. I don't know. But he is coming again for us. Well, in Revelation chapter 22, in verse 20, just read these verses here. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, the Lord Jesus. I trust tonight that that's your testimony. You can have a sincere testimony of that tonight. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Well, tonight I would like to just open up and give an invitation. If there's somebody here tonight and you know you have a need in your life and the Spirit's just been working with you and tonight you just like to once and for all just take care of that thing, I'll give you the opportunity to do that.